Lost in Jersey is meeting the candidates. Welcome to our Montclair Election Special 2024. Introducing Susan Shin Anderson, running for Councilor at Large. Thank you, Susan, for coming on Lost in Jersey podcast. We're looking forward to talking to you today about running for Councilor at Large. Elections coming up on May 14th. We just basically wanted to get to know you a little bit and start with how you got to New Jersey.
I grew up in Pennsylvania. I grew up outside, about maybe 50 minutes outside of Center City, pretty close to New Jersey, a little small town called Richboro. It was about 15 minutes away from New Hope.
Oh, New Hope's so cute.
Yes. My parents owned a small business in on the other side of the river in Hamilton Square. For a long time. And we would go to the Jersey Shore during the summers sometimes. I ended up living here when I got to law school. So I went to law school at Rutgers Newark.
Gotcha.
And really that was the first time that I lived in New Jersey. After I graduated from law school, I went back and lived in the city. I moved to Brooklyn and lived there for a while. And I think ultimately I wanted to, so after I got married, we wanted to move out of the city. At the time we were thinking about having a family and just having more space. I think I was very sick of having to cram myself into really crowded subways to get to work.
I remember that.
And so we looked at New Jersey, and when we first started looking for a place to live, I had a couple of strong requests. I wanted to live somewhere that where I could walk to a train station, because at the time, I was still commuting into the city every day for work. And I wanted to find a place that had a pretty thriving downtown with arts and culture and parks. That's everything that Montclair has, and diversity. So I think Montclair
found it.
Bill.
It does.
Do you still work in the city, or do you commute back and forth?
I no longer have to commute back and forth every day. So these days I go in about once a week. But ever since COVID, I've been able to work at home.
That's great.
What is it that you do?
So currently I'm in the policy arena for, I work in research administration. Mm-hmm. And after I graduated law school, I sort of decided that I wasn't going to be a practicing attorney for long. And so I had a short period of time where I was considering going back to school, getting a graduate degree in social work. And I actually did do a semester. But ultimately, I thought I could use my law degree for something else that I was interested in. I started working for another large academic institution, Weill Cornell, and I've been with my current employer for a long time. I started negotiating contracts for a long time for research to enable research to happen. And now I'm in policy and procedures development. I like it.
That's great. Yeah,
that's great. It gives you a lot of skills for what you're running for, council at large, correct? Is that what you feel like you have the qualifications for it because of that?
I think so. Definitely I do have some practical skills that could translate very well. But I think with everything I do that I've done in my professional life so far, it requires negotiation. Mm. And it requires having a really clear sense of what the goals are. I think that's really important, and also requires me to be able to work with a lot of different stakeholders at all different roles. For me, it's a little bit different from being an advocate, which I also have experience in. I think it's very important for people on the council to be able to have calm, rational discussions, be able to come to the table and really be committed to working something out.
It's interesting the way you're explaining the difference between being an advocate and then also being on a council where there's a lot more compromise discussion and all that. There is a definite different tone to both of those actions. What do you think was the biggest thing that inspired you to run in the first place?
I get that question a lot. And I had absolutely no designs on ever going into politics or elected office. My passion is more on the volunteer public service side. I like what I've been doing for town. You know, I've been sort of more under the radar, sort of being of quiet service to the town through serving on different boards and committees and, you know, just doing a lot of like on the ground volunteer work. Over the last few years, I guess people have, some people have approached me and said, oh, you should definitely run for council. And they, the way they explained it was, you're thoughtful. They think I'm thoughtful. I'm fair-minded. I like to make very informed decisions based on, facts and getting a lot of input. Mm-hmm. They think I'm a good listener, basically. They were basically telling me some of the qualities that they would want and somebody who could be very calm, like a calming influence. And so I really honestly did not even think about it seriously until this past summer. I just decided that I really care about the future of this town. I think you can either be part of the solution or part of the problem.
We did get some from Montclair Local, some questions that people had asked. And some of them were to that effect, is that your availability, do you feel that you have the time for that? And I think that that's a, that could be like you were just answering. Yes, you do, but you might have to shift a few of your activities around. Is that correct?
Yes, that's right. I mean, and that all went into the whole, internal conversation that I was having in my head about, am I going to be able to run, first of all, because running is a lot of work in itself. How am I going to juggle my full-time job, which is extremely important to me. But for instance, on the vestry at St. Luke's, my second elected term is coming to an end in May. So the timing works out and, I don't have to be as involved. And as far as the other organizations, we'll just have to see. I'm not really sure what's going to happen next. I try to take one thing at a time. Basically,
I'm looking at these questions. So I'm going to ask you, and Rachel, we'll chime in. We'll ask you some of these questions. What are your day one priorities if you were elected?
If I was elected, I think one important priority is for the council members that are elected to be able to come to the table and try to come to a consensus on big picture strategy. What are the top, let's say, 5 or 6 things that we think is really important to get done in the next couple of years and then by the end of the term. If we can do that, I think that would really be helpful in helping to shape, the budget priorities, maybe start talking about some policies. I see the council sort of akin to a board. The boards that I have been on that are really effective, there's some kind of a strategy that is sort of agreed to. The other thing that I think would be really important, make sure, first of all, that we get a really good permanent town manager hired. And I think that is going to be a really, really important decision because
it seems like the most major after just, listening to when we were at the library, the Montclair Public Library, to listen to everybody and knowing the way this government works and the town manager has so much power and is really like that will be the number one thing is to make sure you have a partner and an asset to the community, right?
Yes.
That you guys can work with and feel like you're on the same team, the same side.
Exactly. That's how it should work.
Right.
Somebody who is going to be able to, that we're going to be able to work together, not be contentious.
Yeah.
And there's probably not going to be full agreement on everything, but my understanding of our form of government is that it's the township manager's job to carry out the policies and the will of the council, and the council's will is supposed to come from the will of the people.
So looking at the questions here that I have, something that stands out a lot is a couple of things is about the redevelopment and the development that's going on in this town. What are your thoughts on the growth of this town and the development?
So I'm not against development per se. I do think that we need to be a bit smarter about planning and approving development, more transparency around the processes. First and foremost, the development plan and the proposal should be something that benefits the town as a whole. I'm also thinking about development in terms of long-term sustainability of this town. You know, I'm very respectful of the history of this town and what it means to longtime residents. But we're also living in a larger environment that is undergoing a lot of change, you know, all around us. So I do think that there is a way to maintain respect for history and also try to think through development as a means for taking care of the long-term future of the people in this town and future generations. So that's kind of how I feel about development.
From my understanding about the budget, mm-hmm. is that it's divided into three sections. It's got municipal, it's got county, and then it's got the school district. And those three areas, all I think the county, we can't do a whole lot about that, right? And it's, I think I have the portion here. 17% goes to the county, 26% goes to the municipal, and 56% of it goes to the schools. What of those areas do you feel needs to have more of a microscope put on it? And what do you think your personal urging for yourself that we need to look at this? We need to take a closer look at it first as a priority.
You know, I'm not really sure that there's that much we can do about, you know, the proportion that goes to the schools. As I understand it, I'm not really sure there's much we can do about it. That part of the budget and the money is managed by the Board of Ed and the school district, right? You know, that being said, I do think that it's still important for council people to be aware, you know, stay aware of what might be happening on that side. I definitely think that it's important for, and this is something that I've been saying in some meet and greets, I'd like to really take a look at the budget allocations to the various departments and see if there's a better, a more transparent way of figuring out how monies get allocated to different departments. And I'm not sure if this is happening now or not, you know, seeing if there's a way to make the standard uniform for all departments, you know, require data, require sort of an annual plan, you know, with goals for each department, some right. measurable things like that. And one thing that I'm really hoping that the new town manager, the permanent town manager will be on board with is, and that's sort of related to the budget, is doing a very comprehensive HR review, because it seems like the majority of the budget, the municipal budget, goes towards personnel costs. And you need people to, I'm not saying that's all bad. You need people to carry out the work of the town, right? Yeah. But the reason why I think that it would be really important to do is, first of all, I don't know if that's ever been done. So, you know, and I think it's a really good opportunity here for there to be a very close look at what personnel are doing, what are employees doing? Are people being utilized in the best way? Like, are we utilizing their skills and experience in the best way? Do we have any redundant positions? Can people be, you know, assigned to different roles if you know, they've gained a lot of skills and maybe they want to do something different, things yeah. like that. And also a big part of it is like, what does our town need now? You know, that's what I think is really important, is to look at where we are as a town now, where we want to go. What are some of the things that we want to prioritize in terms of being of the best service to the residents of our town, and seeing if our personnel and HR situation matches that. That might require possibly hiring a consultant. You know, that's a pretty big job. I think it should be done. And I think that could help with figuring out where we might be able to find a little bit more room in the budget and things like that. So,
okay, with that, what we would like to do is two things. One, is there anything that you would like to talk about that you'd like to bring forth in this interview that we haven't mentioned that you'd like to bring to light to?
I don't know. I guess what I would want people to really know is I'm trying to carry out a campaign that is very true to my personal values. If I don't get elected, I probably shouldn't say this, I'll be fine.
Yeah.
I'll keep doing what I'm doing. I'll continue to serve the community. Yeah. But if I don't get elected, I'll be happy if I feel like I conducted myself and a campaign that is truly like very consistent with my values.
And what are those? What are your values?
Well, I really did not want to, and I've told my team of volunteers, I really do not want to run a negative campaign.
It's so good to get to know you.
Yes.
And normally what we do, and we decided to tweak it a little, we usually ask people to shout out something they love about New Jersey. So what we changed it to is asking you, what is something that you've done or you can think of in your career, in your life? It doesn't have to be just career, that you're very proud of.
Do I have to pick just one?
No, can do a couple.
Okay, so I'll pick three things. Is that okay? So one thing that I am proud of is when COVID happened, you know, Tony's Kitchen became something completely different than what it was before, which was, you know, pretty simple soup kitchen that provided opportunities for people to gather and have food and, you know, maybe get some groceries. And now it's this, you know, this large operation that has pop-up markets in different towns and has home deliveries. And so I feel really proud of helping to be part of that change. And one of the things that that I was part of was I'm one of the project leads for the townwide food drives. Work with two other women who, you know, we started organizing these starting in November of 2020. I feel really good about that. Those food drives were started at a time where people were feeling really isolated. We had a lot of people in town who wanted to help others. And another thing is, you know, the work that I've become involved in with AAPI Montclair, which is actually now known as AAPI New Jersey. I decided to become part of that organization because that organization came to be in the midst of a lot of grief, you know, mm-hmm. after the Atlanta spa shootings. And I needed an organization like that because I remember feeling at the time that happened, I felt triggered. My mind immediately went back and you know, after the shootings and then the COVID related, you know, racism against, mm-hmm. you know, Asian hate, it really took me back to my childhood where I was called racial slurs. You know, I experienced exclusion and then a lot of microaggressions, you know, even as an adult now. So it was kind of, it felt a little traumatic to me. And I know that others felt that way too. When I get scared or if I'm upset about something, I tend to try to channel that into something, not positive, but something where I feel like I can move forward and help and work with others in doing that. And I found that through this organization. And the last thing is a little bit more personal. I don't know if you know this, but my daughter passed away suddenly in August of 2019. Her name's Kaya. That will forever change my life and my family's life. I can say today that I am very proud of the way that I've been able to navigate the grief of that experience. Mm-hmm. And you know, it takes a lot of work and a lot of intention, and also it required me to, you know, I didn't want that experience to make me isolate and not want to be part of this world. So my response to that was to just let the feelings happen and work with professionals, which I've been very fortunate to be able to do. I have the resources to do that. And also connect with other people who are going through the same experience or have experienced, you know, different kinds of loss. That's been really important to me. And it's also forced me to be okay with sharing like certain parts of my life with others. Because I have heard from others that it does help.
And I saw that when I read your website and I also saw that you started a scholarship program.
Yes.
Which is to what you were saying is that you find ways to help yourself move forward in some ways. And that's just such an incredible example. And I didn't know whether we should speak of it, but I mean, I do understand that you're saying that it helps to talk about it.
It does. And I understand that people, you know, some people just really don't feel comfortable because, you know, you don't know how anyone will react. But I appreciate you saying that. I think the only reason I'm able to speak about it now and be open with it is because I really did intentionally take the time to take care of myself and really process all of it, process the trauma. It's going to be a lifelong thing, but I feel much better equipped to go forward and you know, really honor my daughter by continuing to live in a positive way.
Well, it's been an honor to learn about your daughter and also all that you do. And we're so thankful that you came on to share your why I want to run for council at large.
I really appreciate the opportunity.
Thank you so much, Susan, for coming on and sharing all this with us. We're grateful.
You're so welcome. Thank you.
This podcast is produced by Rachel Martens and Jeanette Afsharian. Please follow us on Facebook and Instagram. We hope you share this pod with your friends and family and let us know what you think. Check out our website at lostinjersey.site. And don't forget to get lost.